Hi there. This is Princess Peach from the Mario games. I've gone by different names at different times. None of that matters. What matters now is that you support this show and other shows on the Frog Pants Network by donating a little money to the Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. I really like this show. I'd like it to keep going. And so between now and the next time Mario decides to get off his lazy plumber ass and come save me, perhaps you can give a little bit back. That's patreon.com/frogpants. It is the Boop Show. Some gaming news you can use for November 20th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Look, I did a little experiment, and I want to share it with you guys right off the bat here. You have to excuse me. My voice is a little weird. It's a little janky. I had a medical test today. Don't worry. It wasn't anything. Well, we hope not, but it wasn't anything crazy serious. Except the weird thing they had me drink has had this strange effect on my vocal cords where occasionally I just crack up like crazy, and I don't know why. It's ever since I drank that crap. Maybe I have a small allergy. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. I just wanted to throw that out there. Hold on. Give me a sec. Blah, blah, blah. All right. So I did an experiment, and it was this. Last night, I got into a random dungeon in World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor, in stores now. And I tried being extremely nice in a random dungeon. My first, in fact, of this expansion. And my method to the madness in the past has been, yes, I'll run dungeons. I almost said damn dungeons, and that may have been appropriate. But I'll run those things, and I'll be happy to do them. And I'll even do them randomly with people I don't know when needed. But I, in previous times, would just kind of treat those people like robots that would get, you know, they were angry robots. I know they're people. And I know this is not what Blizzard intends with this feature. They never have, but it's kind of worked out this way. For whatever reason, people kind of treat each other like a-holes in there occasionally, especially, I would say, later in an expansion when all that stuff is real easy and people have done it 1,000 times, yet, you know, a new player comes along and then suddenly they're treated like outcasts. So I thought it would be interesting to approach that, our coming together in this random dungeon. Excuse me. With the intent of being nothing but extremely nice the entire time. And it did not go well. I thought it would go well. It didn't go well at all. In fact, it kind of blew up in my face. You know, like one guy got lost and I was like, hey, dude, no problem. We'll wait for you here. Thanks. You know, like just overly nice. We wiped on one of the bosses. And one guy's like, come on, you guys, get the ads or whatever freak out he was saying. And I said, it's cool, guys. No worries. Tank, first time the tank had seen that. No worries, we're good. We got this next one. Smiley face, right? Nobody else was doing this. Only I was doing this. Nobody would reply. When a guy wouldn't pick up his resurrection, I remember going, hey, man, you there? Everything cool? Love to have you back. Let's go. Let's do this, you know? Being Peter positive through the whole thing. And by the end, I could tell they were all really annoyed with me. Like, they did not want to play with this guy anymore because I was bringing way... I was bright, shiny people in their dark and twisted world where they just wanted to come and get a thing done and they're not there to make friends. How dare this guy waltz in there with his level 98 hunter and his pet Henry and speak such kindness to one another? How dare he? How dare he indeed? All right, let's dig right into the news for the week, for the day. What is it, Thursday? It is Thursday, so it's the end of the week stuff. We don't do this again until Monday. Hope you guys don't miss me too much. People are scamming Walmart with bogus cheap PS4 listings. My guess is since this broke, it's less of a problem. I'm guessing, well, I haven't been able to find a follow-up, but I'm guessing Walmart has figured it out. But yeah, it's a little bit of corporate scamming for the holidays. We get a little closer to Black Friday. People are thinking, hey, wonder if I could get mega huge, mega chain Walmart to sell me a PlayStation 4 for as little as, say, $50 with a new simple price matching scheme that even a child could learn. This is what they say on their website. Walmart says, we are committed to providing the lowest prices every day on everything. So if you find a lower advertised price on an identical product, tell us and we'll match it. That's at the register. Okay? That's their policy. So what people did is they got online and they made fake Amazon postings or listings. They would build that thing out and they would take it with them to the Walmart, down to the Walmart, as we like to say, present it to lady at cashier, or the cashier thing, the lady with a person. It's not always a lady, sometimes a dude. And say, hey, look at this ad. I want this PS4 for $80 because here it is on Amazon for $80 on special. So I want that. And they would get it. And there are people posting in like Instagram and going, thanks, suckers. Got a PS4 for under $100. Way to go. Walmart, you gotta have a little bit of a plan there. I think that's bad. I mean, it's full on stealing, number one. But number two, your policy is a little too wide open, in my humblest of opinions.
I wanted to say, Scott's been a long time fan since the instance for years, and you had mentioned the Towerfall Ascension long before I had a PlayStation 4. And if you hadn't have mentioned it, I would have never downloaded the game. But as I did, it was the most fun I ever had with my family playing a game in one night. And it was absolutely amazing. And a game that just looking at it, I would have never touched without you. So thanks again.
All right. It is with great pleasure that I recommend that game and still recommend that Towerfall is perhaps, in a multiplayer sense, perhaps the best downloadable title of 2014. Now, I know it existed on the Ouya before that, but no one had that, okay? No one bought a Ouya, let alone had more than one controller on that thing. And I know you could Bluetooth in other older controllers, whatever. That was not a thing a lot of people did. But what a lot of people did, to the tune of, 10 or 13 million, bought PS4s, and that game is a thing for it. And for a lot of you, if you paid attention during the PlayStation Plus month where it was free, you got that game already, and it's awesome. If you got more than one controller, you're in for the time of your life, even if there's two of you. But I can tell you with some authority that four people on that thing is the biggest riot you're likely to have. And perhaps the reason, I know it's not the same, but it's the reason I'm not that fried about not owning a Wii U yet or getting Super Smash Brothers, because that itch is definitely scratched with that game. It's a simpler itch. It's not nearly as feature-filled itch as, say, something like the flagship title on the Wii U, but it's a hell of a thing, and you guys owe it to yourselves to give it a shot. Super Smash Brothers, speaking of which, is getting raves. Averaging a 94 last I checked on Metacritic, which is real strong. Another reason to get a Wii U, maybe? I'm heavily leaning toward picking one up for Christmas now. Because the kids would love me, man. And I'd love me, because I could finally play that Mario 3D Land game. 3D World Land, what is it? Whatever. The one that those guys, same team that made the 3DS game, which is still my favorite 3DS game and maybe my favorite Mario game of all time. I mean, you got to give props to 64, right? But that was a hell of a thing. So anyway, I don't need any more convincing. I'm doing it. I'm just going to freaking do it. Let's get this over with. Let's make this happen. Maniac Mansion designers are seeking funding for a new 2D adventure. Go back in time with me 20 plus some years ago when Ron Gilbert and Gary Winnick, the folks, two dudes behind the classic LucasArts adventure game Maniac Mansion, when they were making that game. Well, guess what? They've come together and they've decided to make a new point-and-click 2D adventure dubbed Thimbleweed Park. Thimbleweed Park. I hope that is a story about how you manage a pot-growing operation where all the weed is kept in tiny thimbles. And that is therefore your currency in a dystopic future where monkeys run the world. Here's an actual quote. Why do we want to make Thimbleweed Park? Because we miss classic adventures and all their innocence and charm, reads the game's Kickstarter page. You could argue that your buddies over there at Telltale have done this already, but whatever. You say you miss that adventure stuff. It's kind of happening now, but whatever. They were more fun, would put a smile on your face. We want to make one of those again, and we want to do it right. It feels like they're kind of sticking it to those other guys. I don't know. We don't want to make a game inspired by or paying homage to classic point-and-click adventures. We want to make a real classic point-and-click adventure, and we want to call it Thimbleweed Park. We don't know much about it. Very bare bones on the plot details. Something about two detectives. They investigate some sort of corpse in some town. Used to be a big deal. Now it's kind of a place no one goes anymore. You'll be able to switch at will between five characters, play any of them. Maybe they have different skills at unlocking things. Jill. Like, she was the master of unlocking, right? Multiple endings, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'm in. I'll play your silly game. Why not? GTA 5 on the new consoles is also getting a lot of love. 95% on Metacritic. Now, I don't know if that includes all the versions or just the new ones. Meant to check that. But reviews of the HDified, cleaned up, better textured, better frame rate running deal on the new consoles, Xbox One and PS4, are raving. And this makes me actually tempted to want to play it, even though I skipped it when it was on. It was just too close to the switch over on consoles. I just couldn't justify buying a $60 game when a new console is around the corner. So maybe it's time, but I think I still want to wait for that PC version, because my guess is that'll be the ultimate one, right? Should be. I mean, if they're really doing this right, that totally should be. So, fingers crossed. I hope it's good. Speaking of PC games.
Hey, Scott. Chris Martin here from South Carolina, calling for the Boop Show. With the recent release of GTA 5 on the Xbox One and PS4, I was really looking forward to it, and I was behind the times and didn't realize that the PC version was not coming out yesterday. I want to know what your take on that is, considering a lot of games are doing this now, delaying the PC release. Anyway, love the show. First-time caller, a long-time listener.
All right. I don't think that this is all that different than usual, and it's not always true that a PC game comes later. In fact, I think the dominant way this happens is PC games same time, sometimes first. I don't think this is a problem like you think it is. But this is also Rockstar, and we're talking about a company who's been weird about the way they get their PC releases out. They've never done first to PC since the original GTA days. GTA 3 and forward have all, if they got PC versions at all, were all major late releases. In the case of Red Dead Redemption, one of the finest video games ever made, they never even made a PC version. Man, I would kill for that right now. That you want to get me excited about a Rockstar game, that would put me over the edge. I freaking love that game. But I'm sure a sequel is being worked on. Point is, what is my point? It's not, I don't think this is that weird, and I don't think it's a trend. I don't think this signals, oh, we're now going to have to wait for PC versions. I don't think that's happening. What we're having, the problem we're having all right now, I would argue, is that we're getting releases that have all kinds of issues at launch. And that's problematic. And I don't like that. Do you like that? You shouldn't like that. I don't like that. Speaking of problems, World of Warcraft has apologized and has decided to compensate you if you bought Warlords of Draenor, and they're doing it because you had all those outage issues. They're pretty sad about it. I mean, they're literally sad about it. They seem to be. I mean, I'll take them at their word. We'll talk about this on the instance at length tomorrow, but the word from World of Warcraft executive producer J. Allen Brack, still one of the coolest names in the industry. Brack! Who he issued a sort of a mea culpa of sorts on the forums about problems with Warlords launch. Quote, the quality of the content does not excuse the subpar launch experience we delivered, and I apologize for that, he wrote. Then he outlined what they've done to address everything, what they're doing moving forward. I mean, pretty much nobody had any trouble Saturday and on, or Sunday and on. It's been fine since. They got ahead of it, but they're given 5 days of free time. But here's the big news. They also released a press release announcing that they have hit, no one thought they'd get this high again, they've hit 10 million plus subscribers again. That is insane. They were at 7.3 before all this. So I'm not excusing a rough launch by saying this, but it might help just a little bit, help explain why the outages and why the server overload, if you don't count the DDoS attacks and all that stuff. I mean, I'm a born-bred Blizzard fanboy, but I did not expect those numbers. That shocked me. I mean, it's not quite their high of 12.5, but yeah, back up to 10. I don't think anyone thought that was going to happen. And it's worth it. The game is great. It's really, really good. So good on them. Majesco, probably kicking the bucket. Their ability to continue as a company is in jeopardy. That's the Spanish word for jeopardy. Majesco, I take my word for it, has fallen on hard times. These are the guys that do Cooking Mama. That's the, they're, them's the publisher of Cooking Mama. I can't believe all that Cooking Mama money has dried up. They are going to implement, quote, a reduction of our workforce to reduce our fixed costs. The company's layoffs came, I guess, at the end of October, but I don't know why nobody talked about it. They have an independent label called Midnight City, and that launched Custom Quest 2 for PS3 and PS4. So obviously they got more going on than Cooking Mama. But they lost $2.7 million in September, and that was for the quarter ending July 1st, as well as net revenue of $2.9 million. That's a 27.2% drop year over year. That's not good. They want to get back on their feet, or else they are not going to be able to continue. So that's why they, that's why they got rid of everybody. What do they have coming up? They got some stuff. They got Hello Kitty and Scenario Friends 3D Racing for the 3DS. The Gone Home console ports. Those are them as well under that Midnight City name. And then Shadows: Heretic Kingdoms for the PC, which is currently in early access on Steam. So that is a thing that you could go check out if you desired it thusly.
Hey, Scott, this is Mike from Georgia calling. With Far Cry 4 coming out on the 18th here, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the series itself. Far Cry 3 was a great game, in my opinion. Thanks so much.
That game's coming out. Is out. Sorry. It's out. You can play it now. The reviews are good, and people say it's pretty sweet, and it's got some issues on a couple platforms, but that's getting ironed out. I guess the Xbox One version's having some serious crash issues, and there's something PS3 version's all janky. If you were getting previous gen version of the game, I don't know why you would, but the PC version seems strong, or is that out yet? Did that one get delayed? I forget. Anyway, I kind of thought I would be deep into that, and also Dragon Age Inquisition by now, but World of Warcraft has done a terrible thing to me, and I've had a hard time playing anything else. So I apologize for that. I will get to those games, but I don't know. Far Cry is kind of down my list. I feel like I got my fill with 3 quite a bit, and I'm not sure I'm ready to dive into 4 just yet. However, Inquisition definitely has my attention. Really want to play that. Assassin's Creed Unity characters should have their faces back and frame rates fixed. Very, very soon. The no face bug. Did you guys see how weird this was? It was on the computer version of the game. I don't know if that... Did that happen on consoles? Anyway, the first patch, I guess, fixed that or will fix that. They're claiming this only happens on PCs with a couple of different graphics cards. So a couple of weird specific cases. They believe that's all fixed. But when it comes to all the other issues, performance issues in Unity on consoles and all of that, they're promising some post-launch investigation results and that they'll get to you real soon. Okay. I don't know why that lands on me a little flat. Whatever. I feel like that game got pushed out before it was cooked. Far Cry 4 devs looking into PC crashes and PS3 corruption. I told you about that a second ago. So here are the problems that you may be running into. And Ubisoft, again, the publisher of Unity, now here with Far Cry 4, says these are the problems. PC crashes. People are showing problems loading the game. They result in crashes or black screens, and they think it's a peripheral thing causing conflict. So they'll figure that one out. 2, PlayStation 3 corruption. My understanding is that if you've got a corrupt save file, you have to delete everything and start over. That is not good. Also, anybody doing the pre-order code redemption have run into trouble saying they could not get it to work. They're now going to get, I guess they'll get that working. And they'll get valid codes to people, in a way, whatever. Everybody has kind of sucked at their launches this year. What is going on? Except Call of Duty. You got to give Call of Duty some credit. In my opinion, unexpected credit. Not that it, was going to be a problem or whatever, but they launched pretty much glitch free. Everybody else, Master Chief Collection, all kinds of issues, still issues. Drive Club, is it Drive Club? Yeah, all kinds of jank with that thing. Sony really screwed the pooch on that one. There is, speaking of Sony, the 2.0 patch that kind of screwed up PS4 stuff for a while there. I think that's all better now, but lots of games and things launching busted. What are we doing? What are we thinking? Come on, people. Just Cause 3, or like, again, as my kids say, Just Cause 3, won't ship with multiplayer. The answer? Just cause. When it comes to PS4, Windows, PC, and Xbox One later this year, or next year, I guess, it'll do this without a multiplayer component. But Avalanche Studios told Game Informer they may be working on something. Because you know that the multiplayer in 2 right now is totally, I mean, that's not them. That's somebody else made a mod, and they just let it happen. So I think there's some pressure to have a good multiplayer thing happen. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. They do say in this article, it probably won't be them leading the charge on this. Quote, we don't expect the fans to make the multiplayer for Just Cause 3, but at some point you have to make a choice as to where your focus is. Our strength is in the sandbox experience, single player is what he means, and we want to deliver a great Just Cause 3 experience. So do not expect out-of-the-box multiplayer. Maybe later, maybe PC version, probably someone will mod that in. Consoles, probably not. Probably not. EA reckons Xbox One is catching up quickly to PS4. Well, that's good news, isn't it? They've got a huge stake in that thing succeeding. So they don't have, look, EA, Ubisoft, and other third-party developers, they don't really have any skin in the game to make it so that one wins over the other. They kind of need a big, healthy ecosystem where all the consoles are performing well, because that's where they win. Third parties win when all consoles are shipping well and everybody's got, you know, a base of 10 million users 1 year into the life cycle, because then they can sell to everybody. They don't want a big lopsided world where Sony dominates or Microsoft dominates. And so this last generation was very profitable across the board for a lot of people, because on the whole, it would go up and down a little bit and change in different regions, but on the whole, they were neck and neck as leaders in the business. And then, you know, Nintendo's its own thing and maybe has its own stuff that makes sense. But when it comes to the big two currently, that's what you want. And, you know, he has to be careful. The Chief Financial Officer Blake Jorgensen says this: clearly Sony has jumped out into the lead with a great console and I think a great pricing strategy. But then said Microsoft is catching up quickly. Is anyone playing Titanfall anymore? Is that a thing that's interesting? I'm not even interested at all in that now. I mean, I remember at the time going, oh, that might be my reason to get an Xbox. And now I don't hear anybody talk about that at all anymore. That's not just me, right? Habbo Go, or HBO Go, the app, has arrived on Xbox One. That's good. If you get your HBO through there, well, I guess you get your HBO through your HBO subscription, but then you have the Go thing. You can watch it on there, or your tablets or whatever, and now the Xbox One has it on there. Not yet available on PlayStation. One would assume that's coming. It's also Kinect capable, so you want to navigate around the network streaming selections with your voice and gestures. Why, by gum, no one's going to stop you. You know, maybe just doing a podcast has helped my voice. I had to cancel for lateness, TMSPM, and then I had to cancel a guest spot because I felt so horrible. I'm not going to tell you what this test was, but it was the worst. And I'm a big puss, which doesn't help. Email us, as always, boopshow@gmail.com, boopshow@gmail.com. Your disagreements, your thoughts, your feelings, your love, your hate, whatever, send it there. We're happy to take it all. If you keep it short and easy to read, it'll probably make it on the show as well. And as always, these calls you've been hearing, well, there's more of those coming, and you can call yourself at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Balakar wrote in. I hope I'm saying that right, dude. To the listener that gets sick in FPS games, talking about the motion sickness in first-person shooters. You like that? I said the FPS and then I said first-person shooters, just to help those who may not be familiar with the acronym from last week's topic. Do you remember that? It's not a problem I have, he says, he goes on to say, so I'm not 100% certain of this, but when I was researching what view angles are best to use in first-person shooters, I was reading that for some people, if the angle is off, that is what is making them sick. I strongly recommend you do some reading about that online, because the proper angle is dependent on how far from the screen you are. I hope you'll be able to find the best viewing angles, and I hope it relieves your motion sickness. Balakar. Yeah, I mean, that's the... obviously, it's a... But some games don't do it to some people, and that's the weird bit, right? So they've provided a different... The same viewing angle, but not getting sick. It's very odd. I am no expert on any of this, but I find it incredibly interesting. Okay. We got a call here. What's this one? Right here.
Hey, Scott. Just listening to the latest episode of The Boop Show, and you wanted to know why gamers are so passionate about what they are versus other forms of entertainment media. I think it's because we're more actively involved. I'm not saying that gamers have any right to be as obnoxious as they are on message boards, but I think it's because we're more involved. You don't participate in a movie. You may read a book, but you're not acting out the book. Games get you involved, and as where a movie lasts 2 hours, a game can last, I mean, I don't know about you, I've got close to 300 hours sunk into Skyrim, and so there's that right there. Well, just my opinion. Boop.
I think you're not wrong. I think that's definitely a part of it. You are more invested in it, and some games, but you know, some games are kind of throwaway and arcadey and not something you're going to put 300 hours in, but there is that variability in game types and lengths and mechanics and hardness and easiness and all those things that make it a much different place. I agree with that. I think moreover, though, I had a lot to think about why we demand so much more as gamers or have such high expectations. I think part of it is, well, first of all, we're savvy in all the forms of communicating about it. I think that's a big part of this. And I'm not saying other people are dumb. I'm just saying that, you know, say a housewife with four kids and a working husband who has no interest in movies might be a movie fan, but she's not going to really get all that involved in anything. She just go casually watch the movie. Or in the video game terms, perhaps we're moving closer to that because she can just pick up Candy Crush and just have a fine time, you know? Doesn't get all worked up about it because she's not as into it from a very primal level. And so because they don't have that connection to the community at large or the community just under the surface, they're just not interested in that. I don't know. You guys have had some really great feedback about this week, and I'm sure more will roll in. But yeah, it's a good point. We are more involved. We're more involved. Hey, Scott, says Corey D. Willis. Loving the Boop Show. I just wanted to email you about Double Fine's Massive Chalice. This is the game I talked about last week and kind of came off a little ignorant about it because I really have not paid any attention to it. But it says, it is a combination, this email goes on, is a combination of XCOM-style combat with legacy mechanics like Rogue Legacy. I think he meant rogue mechanics like Rogue Legacy. If you set up rulers by marrying people, rules, I think he means rules, by marrying people with various traits together at strongholds, they influence their children's traits, which in turn affect their ability in combat. It's a pretty neat, and that sounds very Rogue Legacy. It's a pretty neat set of mechanics, but the combat needs more tools for strategy like Overwatch, hee-hee mode, and XCOM. Thankfully, it is still early, so there's time for improvement. Thanks. So you clearly has played a bit of the early access. Perhaps his access came from supporting the Kickstarter. I don't know, but there's more info about that, and that's probably good, right? Right, right.
Hey, Scott, this is Randy Donald. This is the Boop Show. You're talking about how gamers sort of get all uproarious when, you know, we get a feature removed or from a game, and you kind of use the example of, you know, the author of a book or something like that. Well, the problem is, you're talking about these Kickstarter things, you know, people have already paid for the game, technically, and now they're being told that something, you know, in what they had bought is no longer going to be there. Whereas in the instance of a book or a movie where your book, oh, you know, hey, we left a chapter out or a movie's got a different actor, but we haven't paid for those things yet, so we still have the option of whether we're going to buy them based on this info. But in the instance of a Kickstarter or a game that you already bought, and now you're being told that that's not in there. Well, that's sort of a bait and switch. So not really comparing apples to apples there. Anyway, enjoy the show, and talk to you later.
All right. You make a really good point. Hadn't considered this angle either. It occurs to me, though, like if you, like Zach Braff or whoever makes a movie and does it by crowdfunding it through Kickstarter, kind of like the Veronica Mars movie. Remember that whole thing? My experience with those things were that people were also freaky weird about finding out about something being removed or something changed, or they didn't get a copy of something, or somebody else invested money later. Like, it appears the big difference here. So here's my new come down to the truth moment on this whole issue. The reason that we have these expectations and why we are so loud about it compared to other mediums, I think, is because we are being directly involved in everything. In the case of those crowdfunded movies, people were given an opportunity to be, whether you want to call them this or not, but essentially investors in the project. And when you do that, you have given them a voice beyond just passive person who just has to decide if it's worth his $6 or not to stop at the movie theater and watch it or to buy it at the store. You've now given them the keys to the kingdom in a way. You've said, here's more you can do. You can be more involved. Your money goes to our bottom line and makes this thing happen. And I feel like games have always kind of done this in a lot of ways, because our feedback directly affects features. Our desire for certain things affects what a company's willing to do. Our willingness to play the next Call of Duty in large part decides a lot about what the future of the most popular game of the year should be. Do you know what I mean? Like, we are way more integral, even the most passive among us. If we stop buying Madden, Madden stops being important in a way that doesn't quite have the same impact in movies, because studios will just be like, fine, we have Brad Pitt still. So what if so-and-so got washed up? So, these are all good points all around. Scott says, Brian, love the show, but your analogy of the bad launch of Warlords of Draenor, comparing it to an author removing a character from a story, is not accurate, as we continue this argument. A more accurate analogy would be you having been waiting for a movie to come out for 2 years, buy the tickets at a four-year date, take time off work, get dressed up, take your lady friend out to dinner, and show up to the movie only to find out it has been postponed for 2 days. All right, fair enough. There may have been a DDoS attack. Blah, blah, blah. I said a lot of D's and O's and S's in there. The first day, but there are also major mistakes made by the server capacity and so on. And they admitted all this. So, that's a good point. That's a good analogy as well. Here's my only point. I live in a world, I can't speak to everyone's world, but my world includes disappointments. If I were to get Kim all excited and gussied up and prepped for a big date out, and we had the perfect dinner and the plan was to see the perfect movie after, and we got all dressed up and dolled up and we went out there and then found out it had been postponed for 2 days, I just don't think I would want to torch the city. I think I would just go back and go, that wasn't great. We'll try again next time. You know what I mean? I mean, we pay for the tickets. But they'd give us tickets. They'd still be good for the next showing when the theater opened again. Just like, Warcraft's, the game worked after 2 or 3 days pretty much flawlessly, and also gave us free 5 days. I mean, people make good on these things. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm okay with the occasional things didn't work out. And I'm not saying you're not, but I feel like a lot of people aren't. And maybe that was my bigger point, because I'm passionate about games and I'm passionate about getting the value I want, but I can tell when somebody's working hard to make something work. I never once questioned Blizzard's intent. There was never any kind of, we will screw up the servers for 3 days. Let's see how the players like this. That never happened. Did any of you think that happened? If you think that happened, then you got some conspiracy problems. But if you are getting screwed over by something, a Kickstarter that's just yanking you around or something like that, well, yeah, then, you should get a little bit loud and proud. But at the end of the day, I just feel like, all right, I cannot control my day that closely. So if something goes a little wry, try again tomorrow. That's kind of been my way of thinking about it. I could be stupid and wrong, but who knows?
A while back, you were talking about favorite gaming moments. Well, this isn't necessarily my favorite moment, but it is one of my most memorable moments. It comes in The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, and spoiler alert, it involves some quest lines and in-game things. One of the quest lines for it was you could reunite these two estranged lovers and they would get married. And it took all 3 days to do. It was really, really difficult. There were certain timings that had to happen and certain events that needed to happen. And you reunited them, and it was the last 10 minutes of the final day. And they stare lovingly into each other's eyes. And in order for 100% game completion, you have to rewind time and undo all the good that you just did. Now, Majora's Mask came out when I was 10 years old, and I was 10 when I played it, and this was the first time that I had been presented with a literally no-win situation. I cried myself to sleep that night. Anyways, I was 10, fortunately, so my psyche was more resilient. I bounced back the next day, went through, completed the game with 100% completion. Anyways, love the show. Boop!
All right. I love stories like that. I have a confession, though. I never played Majora's Mask. Does that make me a bad person? Let's ask Steve, who says, Scott, I don't know about you, but for some reason, right around this time in the holidays, with it all coming, I get very reminiscent of certain types of video games. In particular, I want to sit down with a video game of the Mario or Zelda variety. Do you have the same share? Or do you share the same sentiment? Are there any games that you would enjoy more as the seasons change and the holidays approach? Thanks, Steve. He's in Marshall, Michigan. Be a great wrestler name. Marshall, Michigan. I am a huge fan of that. I'm basically you. Those are the games I want to play. That's comfort food for the holidays. That's why I'm leaning very hard Wii U right now for the holidays, because I would love to just play those. The problem is I'm going to be in Vegas for a huge chunk of those for the holidays, and I won't be able to play console games so much, or PC games. But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And yeah, I do. I share the exact same sentiment. Those are the ones too. Although, give me a big, deep Skyrim kind of experience, I'm kind of cool with that. I also have a lot of nostalgia for playing WoW that time of year. So I'll have that this year, I guess. I'll take my notebook, whatever I got to do. Hey, Boop says, Will, he wrote in, says, given the PS4 and Xbox One hard drive sizes and system capabilities, what do you think keeps developers from creating a game that uses expansions and patches along with the lines of WoW? Destiny would be a great place to start. But if I heard correctly, Destiny 2 is already being mentioned. Am I wanting too much out of my consoles? Boop, says Will. By the way, he says he played Destiny to 21 and now went back to Diablo because the Diablo loot and reward system just kills everything. And I agree with him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the problem. PCs with perpetual hard drive limitlessness in a lot of ways makes that the platform that makes the most sense for these kinds of things. But there certainly are. I mean, there's already precedent for other MMOs and things. You know, DC Universe Online's been on PS3 and soon to be on PS4 for the whole time. And they get patches and content updates and stuff like that. So you do have this limit, though. I just wish they would all just, like, support external hard drives out of the box and not have to fiddle around with a bunch of crap to worry about piracy and stuff. More of that, please. That would be great. Am I asking too much now is the question. Nice, thick, and rich episode today, don't you think? Like a thick, viscous coffee in the morning. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Don't forget, 801-471-0462 is our phone number. Call it, please. We love them, as you can tell. On Twitter, @boopshow. You can catch streaming episodes of this thing on alphageekradio.com as well. Those are all repeats. And if you support the patreon.com/frogpants link, we'll buy gum. The show continues. You can also buy some cool stuff at the Frog Pants store. Got some sales coming up for Christmas, so go to frogpants.com/store. I am going to leave you now with something a little special. This is going to be, and by the way, we'll have another one of Blair's app reviews at the end of this. But before that, I'm going to play you a remix of Castlevania Bloodlines' Red Pearl. Again, on OC Remix, my favorite website for video game remixes, ocremix.org. Google them, find them, check them out. They're great. So I'm going to play it now. Bloodlines was great. It continues to be good, and this music is good. We'll be back on Monday with a whole new episode. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you then.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Camfield, and this week's app, Only One.
I will become the only one.
This arena-style sword fighting game will have you hooked the minute that you open up the app. It's currently available both on iOS and Android devices for free. You are a brown shirt-wearing, black pants-sporting, sword-wielding fool who has one objective: stay alive. You are placed on top of a giant pillar in the sky. Enemies will spawn all around you, and it's your job to take them out. Enemies will drop replenishing hearts when you lose life, circular blue orbs, which are some kind of currency, and occasionally, shields, which you'll use to protect yourself. Each time you clear a wave of enemies, you move on to the next level. After a certain amount of levels, you fight a boss, and like normal bosses, they have more life and some kind of crazy mechanic you have to figure out how to dodge. As you progress through the levels, you unlock abilities in a simple skill tree. You use that magical blue orb currency to unlock new abilities. These abilities consist of passive and active skills. Might, a passive skill, grants you more damage when you have full health, while Push, an active skill, allows you to use a Jedi move to push your enemies off the pillar, which is probably the most satisfying way to kill things in the game. There are some in-app purchases, but they aren't necessary. You unlock everything just by grinding through the game and earning enough magical coins. I would give Only One 8 hearts out of 10, as I found it kind of repetitive, but I still had a blast playing it. Feel free to tell me what you think, or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter, at BlairCan. That's all I have for you today, and until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!